Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the text. Last week, I remember my opening greeting, I talked about the blessings of struggling with and wrestling with the Word of God and how it's a good thing. Because not every passage of Scripture is clearly and neatly understandable as it sits on its own, especially in the English language, in regard to the passages of Scripture that we really don't want to talk about because it makes us uncomfortable. 1 Timothy chapter 2 on a scale of 1 to 10 is turned up to 11. So much that is in here, you know, causes a stir and causes some to bristle. But you have to look at it together and in context. Paul says, let a woman learn quietly and in submissiveness, and she will be saved through childbearing. Remember that this is the Word of God. So the operative question is, how can I understand that this is right? That this is correct? Where is the good in this text? That this is, as it is stated, the will of God for us. If you enter into the struggling and wrestling with the text thinking that, oh, Paul must be wrong this time because I don't know anyone who would say such things, well, then you're placing your faith within the philosophy of the day rather than in the Word of God. And that's a dangerous way to study the Bible. So how can we understand Paul's words to be correct? Where is the good? We have to look at the words. Verses 8 through 15, it's part of an ongoing conversation about the roles of men and women within church and in society. And Paul writes extensively about this in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. It's an important topic because you may have noticed, but there are a lot of men and women within the church. If you are a man or a woman, these words are going to apply to you. Well, when it says, let a woman learn quietly, you can't just read it in the English. Because that word quietly, it's the same word that you see a few verses earlier when Paul urges everyone to pray that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Paul is not saying that women need to, you know, sit down and be quiet. Paul desires for learning to happen without chaos and discord breaking in. There's an ancient Chinese curse which says, may you live in interesting times. It's a curse to live in interesting times. Peaceful and quiet living is the blessing. And that's what Paul desires for the church, for the women of the church in particular. Now, to submit, as Paul says here and elsewhere, like Ephesians 5, it is not the way that word gets used in our language today. But to submit is to willingly, and I stress willingly, this is not being under the thumb of a tyrant, willingly placing yourself under the protective authority of someone else. To not demand that you are first. And this is also a blessing, because remember, the first shall be last. Being first isn't what it's all cracked up to be. And Jesus doesn't merely suggest this as being a good thing for the women. He lives it. You have to look at Paul's words from 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. The head of Christ is God. Christ has willingly submitted to the authority of his Father. Jesus says, there is nothing that I have received that I have not received from him. But isn't Jesus equal to the Father? Of one substance with the Father, as we confess? Well, yes, he is. They are equal, but they are different. And they have different vocations, different functions within the relationship of the Trinity, different authority. Paul says, the head of a woman is her man. That's what the Greek literally says. Just as the head of Christ is God the Father. Therefore, anyone who says that by nature a woman who submits to the authority of her husband is inferior to her husband must also say that by nature Christ, who submits to the authority of his Father, is inferior to his Father. And no Christian could say that. Scripture never says this. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul certainly doesn't say that. He says, if Christ claimed equality with God, it would not be robbery. But Jesus, though equal to the Father, made himself to be nothing, became a servant to all, took on human flesh, suffered and died, so that all of the Father's children may live. And because of this, the Father has exalted his name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the Messiah. He submits to the authority of the Father. He does the work, the vocation of the Messiah. It wasn't the Father's job to die on the cross. They have different tasks. Different authority, but they are equal. It's an important understanding as we look at the roles of men and women. We are equal, but we have different tasks and different authority. And it's important to understand the proper role of authority. When you are given authority, it is not for your benefit. It is for the benefit of those who are under your authority. The police are to protect and to serve. It says so on their cars. That means they have authority, but their authority means that they have to place themselves into harm's way to protect you who are under their authority. A judge is entrusted with authority to ensure justice for the sake of the victims and the general welfare of society. He has been given authority to do so. It does not give him power to support himself or to puff up himself. With the authority that I have as a husband and a father, it is my job to die if that's what it takes to ensure the safety of my wife and my children. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved his bride, the church. For the church to live, Jesus had to die. It was part of his vocation. As part of my vocation, if I have to put myself into harm's way and risk my life so that my wife and children may live peaceful and quiet lives, that's what I must do. God has placed the burden of authority on men. It is our vocation. It is our burden. And when Paul talks about Adam and Eve, how Eve was deceived and became a transgressor, but Adam was not deceived, he's not saying it was Eve's fault. Eve was deceived. She didn't know better. She had not, Adam knew better. He wasn't deceived. He just outright rejected the promise of God. What he's saying here is that it was Adam's fault. He was the one who had the authority to uphold the righteousness of the family of humans here on earth. And he failed. Eve also failed and became a transgressor because she was deceived. But it was Adam. He was the one who had the authority, which is why, even though Eve ate of the fruit first, what do we call that sin? It's the sin of Adam. He bore the burden of authority. And he still, as we are children of Adam, have that burden placed on the men. It is our task and our burden. But then Paul says, well, she, the women, will be saved through childbearing. I told someone this week what I was going to be preaching on, and she said, I've been saved 3 times. Again, no, that's not what Paul is saying. This is about functioning within the vocation that God has given you. This is written to a culture where basically every young woman gets married by their mid-teens, which is why the word for woman and wife are the same in Greek and in Hebrew. The vocation of wife under the authority of a protecting husband and the two of them working together in this way is pleasing to God. And God says, it is not good for man to be alone. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And childbearing is the vocation of womanhood in its full blossom. Now, obviously, not every wife is blessed in this way. And we are blessed this week to celebrate with Pastor Michael Grevey and his wife Krista, as they have been blessed with the adoption of their daughter Lydia. And that has been big news in our circuit this week. Because not every woman is blessed with the fruitfulness of childbearing. But the point that Paul is making is that women fulfilling their vocation as the helper that we men so desperately need, that when this is done in faith, love, and holiness, it is pleasing to God as a thankful response to the grace you have received. And you receive the further blessing of a peaceful and quiet life under the protective authority of your husband. Isn't it ironic that the grace that you receive has come through the Son of God submitting to the authority of his Father, not placing himself first, and being born of a woman? Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.